I have a message, but before I get into it, I just feel like, you know, there are words, always words, 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 words coming at us. And a lot of times at the beginning of the year, we want to know what the word of the Lord is. Well, here's the problem with that. It's only a word of the Lord if you receive the word. You know, words come at us all the time, even like correcting words or words that admonish us, words that, you know, sort of steer us back on the path. But those words only become effective in our lives when we receive those words. So it's not that I have a word for 2025, but I feel like it is a word. If you'll hear it and you'll receive it, that God is wanting to make change in our lives. I just feel like this year, God is going to highlight, he's going to remove, he's going to work, he's going to excavate. He wants to tear out fear in our lives. See, fear isn't always frightful. Fear can be fear of man. It could be fear of, you know, like a phobia. It can be fear of missing something. It can be fear of not being liked. There's a lot of ways that fear presents itself. And I just feel like the Lord is wanting to remove fear in every form in our lives. Why? Because fear, it inhibits, it limits, it hinders the anointing in our lives. It hinders the ministry that we're called to. It hinders the outreach that we're supposed to have. See, it really limits us to what we can do. So much of my life, I lived in fear. I followed fear's direction. I didn't realize how much fear guided me until I started to distinguish the difference between what fear was saying and what faith was saying. Sometimes faith and fear sound similar, but you can really tell the difference when one tells you there's no way out. That thing is impossible. You'll never get past this. You'll never move forward. So the title of this message is No Fear, Just Faith. No Fear, Just Faith. I thought it was pretty cool a few weeks ago when the Lord gave me this title. I was sitting, I think it was, yeah, Kirk was preaching. And I just heard the words, No Fear, Just Faith. And I feel like that was sort of the anthem for 2025. Now, it's not the only word. You might say, well, someone last week said the word was, that's great. We can have more than one words. Many words can apply to our lives, but I just feel like God is really wanting us to hear what he's saying and remove fear. Fear really has a way of limiting you. If we think about the calling that God has on this ministry, there's been some major prophetic people who have given us words that we're going to see healing revival. And, you know, that could, that's amazing, and it's also scary at the same time. And you could allow yourself to get into a place of fear, thinking it will never happen. If I don't do this, if I don't do that. It's not a works thing. We just want to work with the Lord and allow him to move. And by doing that, if we remove fear, we can see a lot of things accomplished in our lives. Is anyone ready to see new things accomplished in 2025? Am I the only one that's looking forward to what God is going to do in 2025? I'm grateful for 2024. I'm grateful for the healings that he's done. I'm grateful that Easy has recovered and defeated the devil many times over cancer. But I'm looking for more in 2025. I want more healings, more breakthrough, more overcoming, more deliverances, more people set free. I want more people in this place. Why? Not so we can say we have great numbers, but so that God can minister to his people and bring salvation to those who are hurting. So most of my message today really centers around this passage of scripture in Matthew 8, 23 through 26. The same narrative or story is also found in Mark 4 and Luke chapter 8, but John, however, is silent on the matter, and we will address that later. Matthew 8, 23, 26. I mostly read out of the New American Standard. And then sometimes I'll read out of the New King James because I like to feel like I'm royal like that. No fear, just faith. How many want that for 2025? No fear, just faith. See, I don't want to be driven or led by fear. I want to follow faith and see things happen in my life. Matthew 8, 23 through 26. Are we there? Yes. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with waves, but Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Save us, Lord, we are perishing. He said to them, Why are you afraid, you men of little faith? I find it interesting that, you know, yesterday or the videos I was working on this sermon, and it's like, Lord, I just need some confirmation that this is, I'm on the right track. And several of you people said the exact things that I have in the notes. Now, maybe you don't like it. That's okay. It's what I got. Jesus says, if you have ears to hear, hear. So this morning, if you have ears to hear, you can hear, right? If you walk out of here saying, let me just say this. If you walk out of here saying you didn't get anything, that's not on me. That's on you. If you have ears to hear, I'm serious. I never walk out of a place thinking I didn't get anything. That's on me. Now, if I have, I realize my attitude was wrong and I needed to change it. Have I sat there before? Yes. And thought, did I get anything? And I think, no. And I think, oof, not a good place to be. Like, you know, I'm being sarcastic, but I'm also being serious. Because we come in here and we start judging what people say. We weigh it if it's good enough or if I should receive it. The truth is, if it's the word, just receive it. If it's my opinion, throw it out. You know how you know if it's my opinion or the word? You read the Bible. I don't have to explain it. It's in the Bible. You don't like it? It's in the Bible. My opinion? You don't have to take it. There's another opinion. We've all got them, right? All right. I'm about to preach today. I'm just kidding. I got nothing. I'm just kidding. I had you there for a second. Okay, where was I? Okay, so I read the scripture. Let me do it again since I can get focused. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." He said to them, "We are afraid." No, sorry. He said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. I want to look at the words, "There arose a great storm." Storms, unfortunately, are a part of life. See, last year there were quite a few states that got hit by major storms. We saw major flooding just sweep across Tennessee. And seeing that we live on the Gulf Coast, we are familiar with hurricanes, flooding, storms. See, storms happen not every day in our lives, but from time to time and season to season, our lives, our plans are impacted by storms. See, storms have a way of disrupting our lives or our pattern. See, storms aren't uncommon, and I know it's cliche, but the storms of life aren't uncommon either. See, here the disciples find themselves in the middle of this sea, in the middle of a literal storm. But this storm presents a teachable moment. See, it's often in the storms that our faith is tested. See, our faith is seldom revealed when we're on the shore, so to speak. We really see what's on the inside of us when we find ourselves in the midst of a storm. See, I think this narrative that's presented in Scripture is the same perspective we have when all of a sudden things are normal and bam, we find ourselves in the middle of a storm. We react the same way. Verse 24 says this, "And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with waves, but Jesus himself was asleep." Now, if this doesn't express their vantage point about the situation, I'm not sure what else could. Matthew describes this ferociousness, this severity of a storm, and we pan to Jesus. What's he doing? Outside the boat, asleep. How dare you? No cap. Is this still cool to say no cap? I'm sure there's new words. Oh, I'm going to show my age. It's 27. So he's telling the story. They're in the boat. They're freaking out. They look to Jesus. Where's he at? Asleep. Asleep? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like Jesus was asleep? You're going through it. I mean, you're really going through something, and it feels like Jesus is asleep. Has it ever felt like the winds and the waves surround you, and I'm tossed, feels like I'm drowning? Lyrics to a song, nobody got that? Man, y'all need to loosen up. I mean, revival starts when we loosen up. That's a word from the Lord. I'm about to get myself in trouble. I'm going to move on. See, if you just put down your religious answer and be real for a moment, I would wager that more than a few handful of times, it's felt as though Jesus was asleep when you really needed him. See, a storm is tossing the boat, water's filling it, they're surrounded, they feel like they're going to drown, and there he is sleeping. The nerve of Jesus to sleep. How can he be at peace and at rest when I'm suffering? What is happening? See, we think or we say, God, I'm down here suffering. I'm just going through it. And you, where are you at? You're asleep. God, are you asleep? Hello? Hello, God. Anyone else prayed and just thought you got nothing back? You think, gee, did I come on the wrong day? Is this the nap hour? Like, are the angels too busy singing that you're distracted? Come on, have you really ever prayed and just thought, where are you at, God? See, storms are also relative to your life or to your experience. I can remember when I first moved here, I experienced my first hurricane. And at my benefit, I was living with Pastor Easy and Lena at the time. Now, I don't know if there's a lot of people that are new here. I have lived with them over the course of my life since moving here, probably 4 or 5 times. Sometimes it was I would call the day before. I would be like, I'm moving in. She's like, when? Tomorrow. So then I would move in. And she was kind enough and gracious enough to just let me. But they are truly my spiritual parents, and they have changed my life. And I am indebted to them. I could never repay what they've done for me. I would not be able to stand in this pulpit if it wasn't for the love and the sacrifice that they've made for me. When I moved here, not to go over it again, but I didn't really grow up with a father. And I didn't know Easy and Lena. I moved here because of our old drummer that was playing for them. Was like, God is moving. He's like, you should come visit. I'm like, sure, okay. I really wasn't, you know, I believed in the Lord, but I wasn't living for him. I hadn't really had an encounter that really changed me. So I came. Long story short, came here, you know, got connected with the church. I'm at a prayer service before I spoke. I used to not speak. This is not my thing, y'all. Okay. This is not my thing. I don't like this. I don't enjoy this, but I just obey the voice and the calling of God. I had to decide to put down my desire, because my desire to be on the back row. I'm just telling you the truth. That's where I want to be. I've never longed to teach. I've never longed to preach. I've never longed to tell people what to do. I just like to sit in the back and mind my own business. Like, I got my thing, you do your thing. That's really what I like. But God had other plans. Amen? Is it okay if we just loosen up a little bit today? All right, good. This is the new me, the new year. y'all said, go back to being how you were. So I moved here. I was at a prayer meeting, and Easy and Lena didn't know me. I had only been here a short time. And during one of the prayer meetings that I wasn't really praying that vocally out, because, again, I'm timid, I'm shy, I'm, you know, being quiet. I know, weird to believe. But so I remember saying, and Pastor Easy, he comes over to me, and he says, he starts praying for me, and he says, and I know you've never had an earthly father, but the Lord is telling me I'm going to be a father to you. Now, he didn't know what that did inside of me, because I had always felt lost. I had always felt not man enough to do anything, because no one had ever really, you know, there wasn't a father figure in my life to really, like, ground me. And I am forever indebted to Pastor Easy, even though Lena laughs that he didn't really do a whole lot. Because really, I would just sit in the same room with him. We'd watch TV. But yo, that's good enough for a man. And she's like, you don't do anything. You don't even talk. And I'm like, it's beautiful. There's just something about a father being in your life that just grounds you. I don't know. It just gave me a sense of who I was, a sense of purpose. I saw how he loved the Lord. I saw how he loved Lena. I saw how they worked together. It just showed me how to be a father, and I just hope that I'm able to be a father like he is to people someday, hopefully soon, because, you know, I'm getting older. That's not to put pressure on my wife, no. I mean spiritually and naturally. Come on, guys. Okay, y'all are really throwing me. All right, so I'm living with Pastor Easy and Lena, and it's being from Arkansas, we didn't have hurricanes, okay? We had tornadoes. Not that I ever experienced one, but we had tornadoes. I was used to that. But living here, I had never gone through a hurricane. So to my great pleasure, I was living with Easy and Lena, and one of the hurricanes was coming through. And I'm there. It's the winds start howling. You know, the winds start blowing. They have this orange tree. It's on their previous home. It was the orange tree near the back of the house. So the whole night, it's like, boom, 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 boom. It's the oranges, like, pummeling the roof. I'm in the corner in a chair rocking myself thinking I'm going to die. Like, maybe not that severe, but I kind of think I did think I might die that night. But, like, I'm just sitting there, and I'm just like, oh, Lord, I'm not used to this. I'm not comfortable with this. I don't like this. How are they in the next room asleep? Like, what? Like, how are you? Like, how do y'all not hear this? So I'm just sitting there, like, being all nervous about it. And then I hear Pastor Alina, she got up during the night. And so I heard her door open, and I thought, oof, great, she's here, she'll save me. So I get out, I come out of the room, open the door, and I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, I think there's, you know, things going on. Like, I can't, there's the storm. Are we going to make it through? And she looks at me, and she goes, let's go outside. And I'm like, what the? I just said I'm scared, and you want to go outside? I'm like, are you insane? She is insane, by the way. So I just decide, well, if Lena wants to go outside, I'm going to put on my big boy pants and go outside with her, even though I was terrified. But you know what I noticed is that some people who have been through it, they're calm when the storm is going on. See, we don't need to judge people who are calm in the storm because maybe they've been through a thing or two and you haven't. And so when they have peace on the inside, you can't go, why are you at peace? Why aren't you frantic like me? Because I wanted her to be like me. And she's like, yo, bro, now let's go outside and check it out. So I'm like, okay. So we go outside and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, this storm's not as, all the images, the thoughts that I had about the death that I was going to suffer or the window that was going to blow open. All of a sudden I thought, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's just some wind. And so what changed? Did the storm change? No, but I changed. All of a sudden, I saw it different. My images were vastly different. I was able to go back into the house, go to bed, and be fine. See, storms are relative. Some people have been through a lot. So don't judge people when they go through something and you're like, why aren't you frantic? Maybe it's because they've been through it before and they have peace knowing that God is going to see them through. See, in life we have images that we like to think about. The storm that we picture is always greater than what's actually going on. Things always seem bigger, larger, scarier. And we hide ourselves away and rocking in a corner. So nothing changed outside, but I changed on the inside. Now, if you're someone who struggles with fear, I struggle with fear most of my life. I don't want my words today to make you feel condemned or to think that I'm trying to say you aren't doing enough. I lived under the leadership of fear, and I didn't even realize how much it influenced all that I did. And it conditioned me to live in a response to fear. See, it hindered me in so many ways, but I have good news for you. It doesn't have to stay that way. See, once I was able to begin to separate the voice of fear and see it for what it was, I was able to brick by brick, obviously the Lord, not just me, remove the support system I was helping to fortify. It was me the whole time. Like, the enemy gives you a thought, it's a word, and if you receive that word, then you begin to brick by brick build and fortify the structure he's trying to build. And the Lord is saying, it doesn't have to be that way. See, so much of my life, I was just conditioned to respond in fear. No, no, that's not me. No, no, don't look at me. No, 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 I don't want to say anything. No, 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 I don't want to lead worship. No, 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 I don't want to pray. No, 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 I don't want to do that. But I've learned, and probably because of Easy and Lena, because they are fearless. Like, I've never known Lena to have fear. I wish that I had probably a 10% of her boldness. She will speak her mind, not in an ugly way, but I've been with her in banks, and she has expressed her mind. And I'm like, oh, my Lord. But you know what? People respect that because it's truth that always comes out. See, I would rather not live in fear and just be bold and have courage. Just like the Lord told Joshua, be bold and courageous. See, if you want to possess the land, you've got to have some courage. But it's interesting, like what I'm saying is if you think you got to drum up faith, no, no. The scripture says he's the author and finisher of our faith. So if you need faith, just ask him. He authors it. He'll give you more, and he'll finish the faith. It's not that we have to work it up. The church does way too much of working it up anyway. And that's not a slam. It's just, it's human nature. We think, I can help you out, Lord. It's what Sarah did. Yeah. She's like, let's just help the Lord out. And you have a Ishmael. Anyway, different story. Thanks, Paul. So hear me again. If you struggle with fear, this isn't condemn you. This is just to know that there's another way. Anytime the Lord shows you something, it's not that he's wanting to hurt you more. He's wanting to bring you to a place of healing. So here we have the disciples. They're panicking. Jesus is asleep. How dare he? See, when one of them, they had to have come to a consensus. Someone's like, yo, who's going to wake up Jesus? Or they all freaked out and said, someone go wake Jesus. So they're screaming. Someone needs to explain what's happening. We need to tell Jesus how we feel, what we think he should do, how he should do it. See, they're freaking out. When Philippians 4:6 says this, Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So the word says, do not be anxious. In other words, that have the same sort of usage there as worry or anxiety. I'm anxious over, I worry about. See, anxious here literally means I'm divided or separated. It means within you there is such separation in what you feel truly pulled apart. See, he doesn't want you divided. He wants you whole. The antidote to being anxious, according to Scripture, is to pray. Always, perpetually, in every condition and in every matter. It's interesting to me that it says, with thanksgiving. Why? Because when you pray with thanksgiving, it means before I see it happen, I'm convinced that he's already done it. See, thanksgiving isn't for God, even though he's grateful. Thanksgiving tells us that he's already done it, and we're already thanking him for doing it in our lives. It's already, a matter has been settled. So I'll just look at how Mark recounts this incident. I love it because Mark really gets more descriptive. Mark 4:35. On that day, when evening came, he said to them, let's go over to the other side. After dismissing the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a fierce gale of wind developed, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much so that the boat was already filling with water. And Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. It got worse. Not only was he asleep, but he was comfortably asleep. Is that not the worst? Like, oh, newsflash, I snore. I didn't know it. So I keep my wife up now. I'm like, oh, that's terrible. You know, when someone is asleep, you're like, how could you sleep? Anyway, so there he is asleep with a cushion. Can you imagine? They're thinking I'm going to die. He's quite comfortable, snoozing away on his little pillow. You're like, oh, look at that, Jesus, sleeping away. So all of a sudden, someone runs over him, and they're screaming, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? See, Matthew says in 25 that they came to him and woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. Mark says, they said, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? I would say there's a huge difference between teacher and savior. And what you call out in your time of need matters. See, one records Lord, the other records teacher. See, it reminds me of when the disciples were telling Jesus about what all the other people were saying. And Jesus looks at Peter and he makes it real personal. And he says, well, who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus to you in this room this morning? Who is he to you? Is he the Lord of your life? Is he your teacher? See, you can follow his teaching, but never follow his ways. So who is Jesus to you? And what you call him, it matters. See, other religions call him a great teacher, even prophet, but they won't declare him Lord of their life. See, so often fear starts with a question like, where are you? Only to be followed by, why don't you care? Jesus, don't you care? See, in the middle of the storm, they lost their sense of who he was. See, someone needs to go wake him up and tell him what I'm going through. He needs to see what's happening. I need him to be just as frantic and worried and as anxious as me. See, on the shore, their faith wasn't challenged. They trusted him when their feet were steady, stable. But once the waves started moving, once they hit the middle and the storm began to rage, their faith, their trust in Jesus was shaking. But that's not to be dismayed if you're in here thinking, oh gosh, I'm fearful, or I have this fear of this. God is not wanting to punish you. You can hear it in his response in verse 26. He said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? See, he says to them, why are you fear-driven? If he asks you a question, it's always an invitation to something more. He doesn't ask you for something that he doesn't provide. When he says, where's your faith? He's not saying you've got to come up with faith. He's saying you have access to something. I am inviting you to participate in this. I'm asking you, where is your faith? Meaning I will give it to you. He doesn't ask us something and not provide it. He's not a God that just leaves you out on your own. What I said earlier, he's the author and finisher of our faith. So it's an invitation when he asks a question. See, fear is nothing new. It's not a new tactic that the enemy uses in our modern times. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says this. It's the New King James Version. Paul, in his letter to his spiritual son, Timothy, tells Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now, I find this interesting that he uses the word given us. This was a letter to Timothy. If I was addressing someone and I think they were going through a hard time, I might say, the Lord hasn't given you. But see, Paul is saying given us. So I think the tendency is because Paul was, I think it was his second time in prison. He was facing persecution. So there would be the likelihood that maybe there would be some fear there, or the likelihood that fear would try to take control, right? So he's reminding Timothy that for God has not given us a spirit of fear. See, fear is a thief that robs you of your peace. Faith and fear both require belief. Faith and fear both require your belief. You hear me? So he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. What is power? The Holy Spirit gives us power to accomplish the things of the Lord in our lives. If you've heard the word dunamis, recently Clyde was ministering and he said the word dunamis. We haven't said it a word a lot. Now, Pastor Easy used to say dunamis a lot. So we know what dunamis means. Dunamis means power, and it's actually where we get the English word dynamite from. But what I find very interesting, that he doesn't just give us power, but he gives us power and love. See, if you use power without love, it can be damaging. But when you use power with love, it's effective for ministry and it can bring healing to someone. And he gives us a sound mind. That means to have wisdom and discipline. See, when fear goes unchecked, it often takes the driver's seat in a time of crisis or uncertainty. See, from my experience, fear often pushes you to make one bad decision after another, whereas there's much more peace when you're following, obeying the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that following God is always easy. What I am saying is you can feel the difference between being pushed by fear and being led by love. Different motivations, different feeling entirely. See, once fear is in the driver's seat, it takes you further than you ever thought possible. Habakkuk 2:4 says this, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. See, we are called to live by faith. Paul echoes these same words in Galatians 3:11, Romans 1:17, Romans 1:17, Hebrews 10:38. In Matthew 17:20, the disciples are asking Jesus why they couldn't cast out a demon, and this was Jesus' response. He said, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, how many people have heard that scripture? Okay, show of hands. Come on. Yeah. All right, 100%. So if you're like me, you're wondering, how could Jesus say you have so little faith and then go on to say, if you have faith as small? I'm like, is one small better than the other small? Isn't small small? Well, it's in the translation. I'm glad you asked. See, a better way to look at the actual word there is to understand that it conveys the idea of the first time he says small, of scarcity or insufficiency or lacking. If you look further into the meaning of the word, the usage suggests the attitude that would cause one to stop wanting to try because the task is believed to be impossible. I find it interesting that Jesus knew what was in their hearts and in their question because they thought this thing was impossible. And his response says, if you have truly believe, the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, not only could you cast out demons, you could speak to mountains and say, move from here to there, and they would obey. Do you see the power that he gives us? We can do impossible things because we believe in a God of the impossible. See, they thought what was impossible. He's saying all things are possible if you believe. See, and I've never noticed this until now, and I think it speaks a lot of Jesus' character. Even after Jesus was asking them, where's your faith? And telling them basically that they trust too little. However, what I don't see is him rebuking them. He rebuked the winds. See, to rebuke means to restrain or to charge one with wrong. He didn't rebuke the disciples. He rebuked the wind and commanded peace. See, here he challenges and tests the disciples, but restrains the wind. So this is a teachable moment Jesus used to get the disciples to search their hearts. See, I know anytime God has revealed something or pointed out a weakness in my life or show me my lack of faith concerning something, it's because he wants me and he wants to lead me to a place of complete trust. See, I always know better, but do I better? See, the disciples forgot he was there with them the whole time. He never left. He says he will never leave you nor forsake you. Our fears, worries, anxieties can cost us our peace. It robs you today for what may not happen tomorrow. Anxiety steals from you today, showing you something that may never happen. We only really see what's on the inside of us when there's pressure exerted. But I want to have a question for you. How can you be more than a conqueror if you never face a battle? How does one become an overcomer if there's nothing to overcome? How does one break through if there's nothing standing in your way? In your life, until there's some pressure to be leveraged against you, will you ever see what's really on the inside of you? Don't shy away or withdraw or panic when you feel under pressure. It's the very opportunity to see what you really think, what you really believe. Don't be afraid, but should something come out that you didn't anticipate, it's your opportunity to turn to Him and be free. See, we want to win the war without the warfare. And we want to overcome without fighting the battle. Our faith isn't challenged during the easy times. It's under stress and pressure when our faith is tested. I know that's a hard word, but it's true. I was listening to a podcast several months ago, and it was talking about this Christian gentleman who served in one of the administrations of the White House several decades ago. And the interviewer was asking him, hey, how did you like working at the White House and for this president? And he said, yeah, it was great. I have no complaints. He goes, but I'll tell you what I realized is I didn't like who I became. He said, when I was there, I got a glimpse of power and authority. He said, and I started yearning for that. And so I would start to backstab people because I wanted people to like me more. So I wanted to stay in the limelight. I wanted to stay in the affection of the president. See, oftentimes things come out of us and we shouldn't be afraid to know what's on the side of us. Now, we don't coddle it. We don't make excuses. But we don't allow things to exist when God wants to deal with those. See, you never know till you're under pressure what's going to happen. And I remember the interviewer said, do you regret going to work for the White House? And he said, no, I don't regret that. I regret what I discovered in me. And then he allowed the Lord to work in him. 1 Peter 1:7 says this, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which perishes though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, faith is what? It's a revelation of Jesus. When there's an unveiling or an uncovering of who He is, faith is built on the inside of us. I wanted you to look at the proof of your faith. Why does God test our faith? Why does He use situations? Now, I'm not saying He causes. I'm saying He will use situations and circumstances and storms to show us what's on the inside. Why does He test us? Well, that word proof in Scripture actually means genuine. He's looking to build genuine faith in us. He wants genuine faith built in us. I'm going to close with this. Philippians 4:6. We read it earlier, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and pleading, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I'm going to end with Philippians 4:7. Here's the answer. When we do that, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Stand with me, let's pray. Father, we just submit our hearts to you today, God. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you want to begin a journey of excavating fear out of our lives, God, that you will do it with such precision. Father, I thank you that we don't have to be afraid of your coming into our lives and removing something, God. Lord, we gladly let go of fear in all of its forms. Fear of man, fear of being shut down. Lord, I just thank you for every person here who is wanting to minister to someone. God, I just thank you for the evangelists in this place as they go out, God. I thank you for courage and boldness on all of us, God. I thank you, Lord, that you are wanting us to be bold and courageous, God. That we're just willing to go after it all. And God, I thank you, Lord, that we lay down every fear, every worry, every anxiety, God. And we thank you in advance for setting us free. We thank you for what you're going to do in our lives, God. We thank you that fear is the door to fear is being closed right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said if we ask it, you would do it for us. And so, Lord, by faith, we believe and we receive freedom. We thank you that we are not bound to fear, but we are free in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, I thank you that as you further work in our hearts, God, that we would not be resistant to change, resistant to healing, resistant to breakthrough, but God, you are wanting to bring wholeness to us. Lord, any place in our hearts that's divided, God, or fearful, God, we ask that you would bring your healing touch. And God, I just thank you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for a ferocious love in our hearts for you, God. Just ferocious obedience that, God, we just want to see you come in our lives, Lord, that you take over, and that you just bring us to a place of true freedom, God. Father, we bless you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.